Content provided in this podcast is intended for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician, mental health provider, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical or mental health condition. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Wow, it's definitely been a minute or two since I've recorded anything on this podcast. And I mean, it's been a while since I recorded episode 3. This is episode 4. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit at the start of this episode, just to share a little bit about where I've been, why it's been taking so long for me to post another episode. And the truth really is, when I started this podcast last year in February, I kind of started with this sort of loose roadmap for the first 7 episodes, the first initial episodes, where I really wanted to outline this concept of courage, kind of this whole foundation of how I do things in my life and how I teach things in my life. And that concept of courage, in case you forgot, I kind of break it down into this acronym of courage, which is curiosity, open to vulnerability, which were the second and third episode of this podcast. Then there's unconditional acceptance, which is today, resilience, awareness, gratitude, and empowerment. But in creating that little bit of a roadmap, that guideline for myself, I've realized it actually kind of screwed me up a little bit, because as I've mentioned before on this podcast, I really struggle with being in these boxes, and that is kind of the case in all factors of my life. And so I really wanted this podcast to be a space for just organic conversation, things that I bring up, talk about, share. But then by having that roadmap, it really put me into this box. So when I found myself not really ready yet to talk about unconditional acceptance, which was the topic that I had planned, I just didn't record. And then as time passed, so since the last time I recorded episode 3, that was in, I think, end of May. And then I had surgery, which is a whole other conversation that I might share later. But I had a pretty major surgery. Then we rolled into summer, and then it just felt harder and harder to come back. So the longer I hadn't put anything up, the harder it was for me to come back. And I think a lot of that is just sort of this fear that, you know, I've been gone for so long and, you know, what do I do? How do I even come back here? But here I am. Because what I realized is this space really isn't about perfection. It's about honesty and it's about connection. And if I can't give myself grace, how can I talk about giving it to others? So if you're here, welcome back. If you can show me some grace for taking a little bit of a break and sort of reanalyzing and figuring out what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, if you can give me that, I really appreciate it. There's a lot of trial and error in this. I've read and listened to a lot of things about podcasting, and there's actually a really small percentage of podcasts that make it past episode 10. And I remember hearing that thinking, that will not be me. That will be me. I'm going to make it past episode 10. And I still intend to. And that's why I wanted to make sure that I came back to this, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't choose not to come back just because I was worried about what other people were going to think. I knew going into this that this was going to be something that is really good for my own mental health and just my own kind of journey of growth and healing and all of the things. I have always found great value in sharing my voice and what I have to say. And even if nobody ever listens to this podcast ever, I'm still getting a lot out of it. So even just simply sitting here right now, recording, it's giving me a lot of value. And so that's why I wanted to make sure that I came back to this. It's kind of like I do a lot of therapeutic writing, and I teach a lot about therapeutic writing and even letter writing. And there's this concept of you can write a letter to somebody telling them everything you want them to know and never ever give it to them. And it can still have a great deal of value on your own growth and your own healing. And so that's what this podcast is for me. It's an outlet for me to share and to talk and get to teach and to get things off of my chest. And I that's why I'm back, because I missed it. I had a lot of things I had to sort out. I wasn't really sure what I was doing with it or how I wanted to move forward with it. But here I am. Thank you for coming back and showing me some grace in that. So this episode is going to be about unconditional acceptance. But, and just let me mention something in there quickly. So like I said about this roadmap thing and how I went into this with this plan to do these episodes in a certain way, I'm definitely going to still cover off courage and what that looks like for me. It might not be in a perfect order. So naturally, today, I wanted to talk about unconditional acceptance because it actually falls into what is coming up for me naturally. But my next episode might not necessarily be on the next letter of courage, which will be resilience. It might be, but it also might not. It's going to be whatever comes to me in a natural way, because that really, honestly, it really fucked me up trying to get back here. So if it doesn't go in the perfect order, sorry, but I will eventually talk about all of those concepts at some point along the road. But again, today is about unconditional acceptance, but not just in this kind of feel good, inspirational sort of way. I want to really talk about the struggle of it. Because let's be honest, acceptance is not always an easy thing to do. So when I talk about unconditional acceptance, it's surrounding acceptance of ourselves, of others, the world around us. And acceptance does not mean approval. And it sure as hell is not easy, as I said before. So I'm going to talk about my own struggles with self-acceptance, kind of the state of the world, why conversations seem to be about winning right now instead of understanding. And then I'll share some practical ways to cultivate acceptance while still holding on to your own values. As I'm sure you're all very aware of, there's so much division in the world right now, whether it's politics, beliefs, values, morality, and it's just exhausting. I've just found it to be really exhausting to the point that I found myself going pretty quiet, because it feels like right now people just don't want to have a real conversation anymore. They just want to, it seems they just, and I recognize I'm probably overgeneralizing a little bit right now, but a lot of what I'm seeing out there is just this need to kind of win arguments. And there's a lot of attacking and not a lot of seeking to understand. And I heard this quote once when I did the Stephen Covey 7 Habits of Highly Effective People course many, many, many years ago. And one of his quotes is to seek to understand before seeking to be understood. And I may have screwed that up a little bit, but that's kind of the gist of what he was saying. And I'm not seeing a lot of that right now. And again, it's been really exhausting. I see people maybe in some cases critically thinking, but also kind of only about their own stance. And so, you know, they're really, really well-versed in their own world belief or whatever it is. And I'm not just talking about politics, because to be quite honest, I don't care what your political view is. I really, truly don't. I feel like I find myself right smack dab in the middle of it all. And so I don't care what your political view is. All I care about is that we try to hear one another. Because I do believe in many of the conversations that I have with other people, even people who have different beliefs or, you know, stances on certain things, we are able to have these conversations that are really constructive. And usually at the end of them, we realize that we agree on most things. It's just, you got to take the time to really dig in and really hear each other out to realize that you really kind of agree on most of the things. It's just the way that it's delivered sometimes, or the way that it's presented, it just doesn't always work. It's just really messy and it's hard to make sense of. And so when you really kind of peel back those layers of that onion and have a real open, constructive conversation with somebody, you can find out that you probably actually agree on most things. It's just, it's not being presented that way. So I ask myself this question often, like, when was the last time someone, even myself, has intentionally changed your algorithm? Like, if we're talking social media, it's so easy to get wrapped up in this one view because your algorithm set it up that way. So you're only seeing the things that you already find yourself aligning with. And so it's really that confirmation bias where whatever you believe and your view of the world, you're seeing more of that. So, and I'm not saying that what your beliefs or political stances are wrong. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying, is it possible to maybe seek out some different perspectives? Not to necessarily agree. You don't have to agree with other people. You don't have to change what you believe in, but maybe seek out some different perspectives with the intention to understand. Because that is a huge part of unconditional acceptance. Being open to people, even when they challenge you, you don't have to agree with them. You don't have to even like them. But it is really important to try to continue to acknowledge people's humanity. And here's the kicker. If we can't even accept the idea that other people might see the world differently, how can we expect to feel accepted ourselves? I mean, even in the last probably 72 hours, in the last week, I guess I could say even, I keep seeing these posts on, you know, Facebook with really bold statements. And this is from a lot of different people. So like people in my own, you know, like people who are on my friends list on Facebook, but then also like celebrities and like other people. I keep seeing different posts with really bold statements made. And some of these posts, especially the ones that are people on my own friends list, really kind of made me genuinely concerned, to the point where there was a couple of times that I wanted to reach out to the person who posted it and just ask a few questions. But then to my surprise, more than one of these posts were removed almost as quickly as they were posted. And so that kind of has me asking why. You know, did you change your mind? Were you called out? Did you realize that maybe what you said wasn't super helpful, or perhaps maybe part of the problem? I don't know. I'm not sure what resulted in these posts being deleted or edited, but what I am sure of is that using shame or hate to sway or educate other people is just never the answer. And times are weird right now. And regardless of your political stance or your beliefs, you should really always remember to check yourself. Like I said, I find myself right smack dab in the middle of all of the current debates. And all I see right now are two sides of the extreme adding fuel to the fire. And I'm seeing it from people who I know are better than that. If you're going to post a bold statement because it's what you believe, stand by it. If not, maybe keep it off social media in the first place. We don't want to be virtue signalers. If you have something that you truly, genuinely believe, stand by it. It kind of goes back to that saying, let's be the change that we want to see in the world. And we all know that that quote comes from Gandhi, but it goes much deeper than that. That is the very simple version of the quote. I don't know if you've ever actually heard where it originates from, but I'm about to read it now. So what Gandhi actually said is the following: "We but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change towards him. This is the divine mystery supreme. A wonderful thing it is, and the source of our happiness. We need not wait to see what others do." So on that note, I'm one who typically has a lot to say, and I consider myself a pretty compassionate person. I care for people. And in general, I believe that we should be able to live how we want to and express ourselves how we want to, as long as we're not doing it in a way that is harming other people. And I want people to feel better and I want people to heal. But with this rise of cancel culture and how it's impacting our ability to have open conversations is really a struggle. I'm okay with challenging my own perspectives. I have had my mind changed. I have had to check myself many times and decide on whether or not I need to change a viewpoint on something because of something someone has shared with me, because of a perspective that has been shared with me. But I always ask myself, like, are other people doing that too? And I don't know about you, but since you never really know what others might feel about you, what you have to say, I feel like we're finding ourselves going quiet out of fear of backlash. And I just think that's such a dangerous place for us to be. And I want to pull myself out of that because I do believe that conversations are important. And that again goes back to sort of that unconditional acceptance. I can't necessarily change the way of the world right now, but I can accept it for what it is and find a way for myself to show up in that, however that might need to look. On a bit of a personal level, I've been kind of in this weird space lately. I'm in this limbo stage, specifically with my career path and my education. Since graduating from my master's degree, my intention immediately was to start my hours as a provisional psychologist. However, I knew that I was probably going to be two courses short of having enough credits to do that, to reach the requirements for the academic evaluation through the College of Alberta Psychologists. And so I started down the path of getting those courses done, got them done, finished them in December of 2023. I had them finished and I put in my academic evaluation through the College of Alberta Psychologists. Found out one of the courses was not accepted for just, you know, that part doesn't really matter. It caused me a lot of frustration, but I'm not going to get into it. But it wasn't accepted. It just didn't meet the requirements, even though it was a university level course that I had taken and received credit for. But regardless, there's just been kind of a lot of things that have happened along the way that have kept me from sort of being at that step. And so I'm currently at this place now where I'm just about done the last course that I have to do to have the credits that I need to start my hours as a provisional psychologist. But I find myself in this place where I don't really know what I want to do anymore. It's making me really think about my values and what path I need to take at this point, with the thought of what kind of work really feeds my soul. And Scott and I have been having a lot of these "what do we want to be when we grow up" conversations, and we're finding ourselves in the middle of making big decisions and reevaluating what actually fulfills us. And I always kind of go back to this thing. I had a coaching client years ago that was struggling kind of with the same thing. And she said, my job is feeding my ego, but not my soul. Just let that sit for a second. How many of us are doing things that really look good on paper, but kind of give us this empty feeling inside? And so I always go back to this because I remember when she said it, I just thought, oh, that's really good. And I told her, I said, I'm going to be quoting you for basically until the end of time. And obviously I'll keep her name private for confidentiality reasons. But yes, this is something that I did not come up with. This was something I heard and I just thought it was so good. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I no longer want to be a therapist. Having my own private practice and doing what I'm doing right now is by far one of the greatest achievements in this life thus far. And so I don't have any regrets in that. I'm still enjoying what I'm doing, but I also have found myself feeling the need to find some kind of an intention bigger than myself so I can just keep myself out of my own head. And I think that's because I find myself getting stuck on things that just aren't important. I get stuck on a lot of the logistical things, and I'm trying to not think about that stuff. I'm trying to just find this intention that just goes beyond myself to sort of get that why back. And there's so much more than I know I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I'm not doing it because of fear. And there's a lot of decisions I need to be making right now that I'm avoiding out of fear. And one of those decisions, like I said, it's whether or not I decide to register as a provisional psychologist, do my hours, go down the path to become a fully registered psychologist instead of what I am now, a certified counselor. And let me tell you, like, there really are very few differences between the two professions in this province. And I just don't know at this point if going all the way to simply call myself a psychologist is enough. And it's not a judgment towards those who have chosen that path. If you have, good for you. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort and money that you have to invest. But for me, the very few things that set registered psychologists and counseling therapists apart in this province is something I really have to strongly consider. And I have to really ask myself, is it worth it? And I have to continue to ask myself, is this feeding my ego or is it feeding my soul? And I don't know. And I'm still contemplating it and have been for a year. I'll update you once I figure it out, but I'm really trying to not, because, you know, like I said, it's a huge time investment. It's a huge money investment to continue on that path. So I don't want to jump into it without really thinking it through fully. And I'm just not there yet. It's another one of those things that once I make a decision, can I accept that decision? Can I know that even though I was going down this path with the intention of registering as a psychologist, is it okay to change my mind? Is it okay to just continue doing what I'm doing right now and not force myself to do something more because I feel like I have to because it looks better on paper? So it's another kind of form of, can I accept that in what it is and allow that to be okay instead of judging it and criticizing myself over it? And I kind of have found myself in this process of reminding myself of where I've come from and where I've been and sort of the roots of that. And on a slightly other note, before I kind of get into a little bit more on unconditional acceptance, I've been working on two books that I want to get out this year, that I am going to get out this year. One to hopefully be out sometime in the spring, summer, and the other to be released on my 40th birthday in December. When I started my master's degree, I basically stopped blogging and writing anything other than academic papers because I didn't really have a lot of time for anything else. And through that process, I noticed a huge shift just in my own mental health, my self-esteem, just the way I felt. And I really missed it. I really missed having the outlet to kind of express myself in writing and to document how I'm feeling and just things I'm learning. And so I'm really slowly trying to bring this back because I need it. Lord knows I need it. And so this process, especially the one that involves compiling all of my blogs into book form, my new normal blog specifically, has been a bit of a kick in the ass that I need. And I'm not going to lie, as I said before, I've been in this weird place lately, and there are a lot of external things that often creep into my life and Scott's life, our life, that many of them are just simply out of our control. And lately, I've let it get to me far more than I should. And when I say lately, I mean like over the last 6 months to a year, I've been letting a lot of that stuff really hit me and impact how I'm showing up. And I know that I shouldn't, but it's just been the way that it's kind of transpired. And I'm doing my best to remind myself that I shouldn't be doing that. And so this process of going back and kind of placing myself back in where I was when I was writing my new normal blog, which was essentially between March of 2016 until September 25th of 2018, I realized how far I've come. And I'm trying to really remember where I was in that time period to sort of give me some of that perspective back. I found it's really been a challenge, you know, when you're moving through life, really trying to show up the best that you can, not perfect, but just simply the best that you can. When you do that day in and day out, and it still just doesn't seem like enough for some people, it can really take a toll. And as I've been working on these books, I've been reminded that allowing that toxic energy of others to take up space in your head and in your heart is truly the most detrimental thing that we can do as humans. But man, is it hard to remember that sometimes. And so sort of putting myself back in this world that I was in when I wrote that blog, it has really allowed me to harness that perspective again. And so I think at the end of the day, going through this process of writing this book is going to be really good for me. And it's going to remind me of a lot of really important things. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it being out. And obviously, I will update you on that. But anyway, back to kind of the topic of this podcast. I know I've been talking a little bit about it as we go along, but what is unconditional acceptance? So acceptance is not equal approval. Just remember that. So let's break it down a little bit. It's really about embracing ourselves, others, and circumstances without judgment or resistance. So not in a everything is fine kind of way, not in a let's ignore the hard stuff sort of way, but in a real grounded way. So it's about embracing ourselves, others, and the life circumstances without that judgment, without the need to change it or to control it. So again, unconditional acceptance does not mean approval. It doesn't mean you condone bad behavior. It means you see reality for what it is instead of what you wish it was. And so why is this important? Well, it's important because acceptance reduces that inner conflict that we often feel. So it brings peace and it helps us build that resilience for life's challenges. Because if we're constantly trying to control and change things that we can't, there's going to be that inner conflict because it's going to be a constant struggle. So the first kind of acceptance that I want to talk about is that self-acceptance. So this is really the foundation of acceptance. Everything starts here. So accepting yourself doesn't mean you stop growing. It doesn't mean that, okay, this is who I am. I'm going to be this way until the end of time. There's not a thing I can do about it. That's not what it means. You still need to have a growth mindset. And so it doesn't mean you stop growing. It just means that you stop hating yourself along the way. You stop criticizing yourself over and over and over again along the way. And don't get me wrong, you're going to have days where some of that creeps in, and that's okay. Just don't get stuck there. So accepting ourselves doesn't mean that we're complacent or that we're giving up on growth. It means giving ourselves grace in the moment. And this part is tricky. I mean, I've often wondered, you know, some of the things just about my own self. You know, I am a compassionate person. I have a lot of empathy. I don't know if this is a strength or a weakness, but I have a lot of empathy even towards people who've hurt me. And when I sit back sometimes in these situations where I find myself feeling sorry for or empathizing with people who are hurting me, my ego really wants me to react differently. Trust me. It's kind of a bit of a joke, you know, in our household. Ask my husband. You know, I talk about this often when I find myself feeling sorry for some people. Like, why am I feeling sorry for these people? Why am I empathizing? Why am I forcing myself to understand maybe where they're coming from? When what I really want to do is just basically, you know, say some choice words and maybe fight back a little bit. But when I feel that empathy and that compassion towards people who have maybe caused me pain, that is when I know I'm leaving my ego behind. I'm moving from a reactionary place back to my true self. I know that I am someone who can really find empathy for people, even when it doesn't necessarily help me in those situations. But I know, you know, that's part of why I've taken this career path in the first place, is because I can find ways to put myself in other people's shoes, and I try to understand it and to help them move forward from it. And so it doesn't always feel right, it doesn't always feel good, but I know that if I find myself kind of lashing out and attacking back, that's coming from a place of my ego. That's not coming from a place of who I am. And so I really have to have a little bit of that self-compassion. And it can be hard. And so many of us are held back by barriers like self-criticism and doubts, like feeling unworthy or unlovable. And these blocks can really keep us from accessing that self-compassion, which really is necessary for healing. And so if this resonates, I encourage you to try to notice how you feel when you attempt to show yourself care and compassion. If it's difficult, let curiosity guide you in exploring why that might be. So notice your thoughts without judgment. Notice what you're doing, what you're thinking, maybe how you're behaving. Try to notice those things without judgment. So as an example of a journaling prompt that you could use if you want to, what parts of myself do I struggle to accept? What would change if I were kinder to myself? And then always just kind of telling yourself and reminding yourself that you accept yourself as you are today. Tomorrow's a new day. Yesterday is gone. Accept yourself for who you are today. The other piece of unconditional acceptance is that accepting of others. So accepting others is a whole other journey. It's often easier to try to control or to change others than to simply let them be on their own path. And I'll admit, acceptance of others has been a personal journey for me too. It can feel frustrating to extend compassion to someone maybe who's hurt us or someone that we don't agree with. But like I said before, that is often when we're truly moving beyond our ego and stepping back into who we are. And empathy really is the key here, recognizing that we can accept others without condoning harmful behaviors. We can accept others for who they are. We can set boundaries where we need to and still honor their journey. And this acceptance isn't about enabling, it's about letting go of the need to control. some ways that you can practice this acceptance of others is even just asking yourself some of those perspective shift questions. So something like, how would I feel if I were in their situation? So really trying to put yourself in their shoes and really genuinely ask yourself, how would I feel if I were in their situation? And I do this quite a bit, and it is helpful. I'm telling you, it's helpful because it just shifts that perspective just a little bit to help you kind of move through it in the moment. And then finally, there's that accepting of life's circumstances. So this is perhaps the hardest one of all, and this doesn't mean giving up. Surrender is different from resignation. When we surrender to circumstances as they are, we stop resisting and we start working with the reality, with what is. And there's this beautiful prayer that sums it up that I'm sure you've all heard. And it is, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And I will let you in on a little secret. I have that prayer tattooed somewhere on my abdomen. And let me tell you, you can't read it. I had it done years and years and years and years ago. And after two pregnancies and multiple surgeries, you cannot read it at all. It is just a giant black blob. But it's there, and I know it's there. And when we reframe challenges as growth opportunities, we become open to the lessons that they offer. So part of how you can practice this is a little bit of that cognitive reframing. So what is the lesson in this situation? And using some of those grounding exercises like deep breathing to sort of release some of that resistance. And if you're in it, like if you are in the ugly right now, you don't need to force yourself to find what the lesson in the situation is. But if you find yourself really getting stuck there and not being able to move forward from it, sometimes trying to reframe it and ask some of those questions of, what am I meant to learn in this? What is the lesson? How am I supposed to show up? How am I supposed to move forward with them? Really asking yourself some of those deep questions can help you to see things differently. But this does not mean you need to rush yourself to this point. If you're going through a really hard time, or you're grieving the loss of somebody that you love, or any type of loss for that matter, you got to give yourself some time for that grieving. There's no timeline, obviously, as we know, but at some point getting to this acceptance is really important. It's a really important part, but everybody comes to it in their own time. And so don't feel like you need to rush to get there. If you're ready and you want to maybe consider some of these questions, jump in. Do it, but don't force yourself if you really don't feel ready for it yet. That is okay. We're all on our own timeline. And so a few other questions you can ask yourself when trying to accept life circumstances could be, what would happen if I stopped resisting? If I stopped clinging to how it should be, instead of working with how it is, how could things be different? How would I be different? How would I feel different? So just some real life application of all of this and practicing acceptance on the daily. Start small. So really just kind of notice resistance in small moments. So that could be something as simple as, you know, you're driving through traffic. If you're in the Calgary area, maybe you're driving on Deerfoot. Traffic is insane. You know, maybe you spill your coffee. I don't know. But trying in that moment to just accept those small frustrations first, give yourself some grace, try to, you know, say it is what it is. I can't change it, but I'm not going to let it impact the rest of my day or how I show up in the world. And just try to really practice some of that acceptance in really small doses to begin with. So having gratitude and shifting focus from what's missing to what's present. And you can do that in a way of journaling, reflecting, At the end of the day, you can simply ask yourself, what did I resist today? And how could I accept it? And so this isn't just a one-time thing, it's a practice. I always use the analogy of birth control. I know it's kind of a weird one, but I have yet to figure one out that is as good as this one. But birth control is only effective if you take it every single day. And so I kind of feel the same way about some of these practices. If you're not doing it every day, if you're only doing it in those moments where you're in complete panic or shutdown or whatever, it might kind of help. It might work as a little bit of a band-aid. If you're doing it every single day, you're building up that resilience. You're building up that ability to take in some of this stuff a little bit easier. You're able to face daily stressors that come in much easier. You're not reacting quite as much because you have some of these practices in your day-to-day lifestyle already. And so you're building up that resilience, and it just seems to be more effective in that way. So why is all this important? Because unconditional acceptance frees us emotionally. It reduces the tension of battling reality, and it helps us find that peace and that contentment and that resilience. Acceptance strengthens relationships. When people feel accepted, they feel seen, valued, and safe. And as we let go of striving to be or make everything different, we actually reduce anxiety and the tendency towards self-criticism. So here is what I'll leave with you. Unconditional acceptance isn't about rolling over and taking whatever life throws at you. It's about choosing peace over resistance. It's about choosing presence over wishing. And it's about choosing self-compassion over self-judgment. So I challenge you, just for today, or as many days as you would like, but just for today, to notice where you resist acceptance. And instead of fighting it, just pause, take a breath, and see what happens. If this resonates with you, let me know. If you hated it, that's cool too. Either way, I really appreciate you all being here. Thank you for understanding some of the reasons why I have been silent for a little while. I'm looking forward to getting back at it. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I will do my best to keep it as consistent as possible. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Meg Roberts Unplugged. If this episode has ignited something within you and you believe it could benefit someone else, don't hesitate to share it. You never know the impact it could have on someone's day or life. I'm always eager to hear your thoughts and insights, so feel free to reach out to me at any of the locations listed in the show notes. If you're interested in exploring any of these topics or conversations further, my contact information will be linked in the show notes as well. And finally, if you haven't already, I would truly appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your support helps spread the messages shared on this podcast and will help reach those who may resonate with them. Thank you for being a part of this journey, and until next time, have hope and be safe.